Heart today is where are your treasures? Treasures, you know, we think of treasures as things that are very valuable to us. And they, I think I've mentioned to you before that I had some treasures. Actually, before my husband passed, one of my sons. He's an artist, and he loved collecting things, and he would collect really unusual things. So he had a vase. I had a vase that he had given me. It was glass, and it was made of flowers and all. And so then... kind of, I think more like a bowl kind of thing. But anyway, when I got ready after Charles passed and I got ready to move, I put it in a special place. And I told the boys, I said, do not put this on the truck, this box. But they did. And it got destroyed. It was valuable to me, and it was very pretty, but it also was a gift. And then I had another one that he gave me. Most people know that I love purple, and he gave me this purple vase. And when I got ready to get all my things out of storage going to Texas, it was nowhere to be found. So I was sad, but it wasn't my heart. You can have things that you treasure, but you don't need to let them get to your heart. There are people that treasure their money. And I heard this saying, I don't know. It was a guy that had money, evidently, and he invested in stocks, and the stock market started going down. And so he was checking his, you know, the stocks, and it must have gone down significantly. And he took his life. Now, that is the kind of treasure that in the scriptures the Lord teaches us against. He doesn't want, we can have things that are valuable that we take care of, but he doesn't want it to become a treasure to the extent it gets in our heart. Some people treasure their cars. I'm telling you, they polish and clean and keep it nice. And I think it's good to take care of your things. I don't believe you should just not appreciate what God but give you. But you can have it so that you don't even want anybody to touch it. Or if, for instance, sometime when you're at the store and you might park, someone may park a little close to you, and they get out and they hit your side of your car with their door and kind of get a little scratch, you know. And if you treasure that car to the extent that it in your heart, you'll get very upset. How dare them to scratch my car? Or children might be playing and they're bouncing the ball or throwing the ball back and forth, and they hit your car, and then you go out and you fuss at them for hitting your car. Don't you see my car? Don't do that and all that. So God, Jesus taught against having treasures like that. And then it can be other things too. It can be houses. It can be clothes. It can be, for women, sometimes they treasure purses or they treasure shoes. And I don't know men. I don't know what all their treasures are except for cars and things.
Children, jobs.
That's right. Or your reputation. All of those can be treasures to them. Let's go to Matthew 6 and 19 to 21. But we don't want to allow ourselves to treasure things on this earth. And this kind of treasure is what the Lord is talking about.
Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
That's the key word right there. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. When you mentioned about children, you have some people that they treasure their child so much. If they find out that you said something negative about that child, they're ready to jump on you. That's too much treasure. You don't do that. Or they, maybe your family, for instance. The Lord may deal with you about certain things, and your family might say, no, I don't think you ought to do this, and that you treasure them too much if you can value what they say over what God says. We don't want to get in a place of anything in this earth, whether it be things or whether it be people or whether it be our reputation or any of those things. We can't afford to allow ourselves to get caught up in that. But I was wondering, how can we know when we're treasuring something? How can we know? So sometimes people may have these things and have these attitudes toward them and not even know that they're treasuring them, that they are putting them before God. And the one thing that I think that we can examine ourselves and the things that we think we value is how much our minds and our thoughts are on it, or how much we put them before the things of God. I find myself making sure, I try to, that I put God first. And that way I don't have to worry about I'm treasuring something. Sometimes I get up in the morning and I get to thinking about, you know, the bank bills, or I think about this, that, and the other. And I try to make sure that before I get caught up with the cares of life and the things, that I put God first. I read my word. I have prayer. Those things first. Not, you know, get involved in the cares of life. And because if you're not careful, you'll find before the day is gone, oh, I didn't pray. I didn't read my Bible. Because what happens is you start doing this, that, and the other, and then your attention gets on that, and then the time is gone. We want to put God first. We want to treasure. This scripture says, lay not up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust does corrupt. All these houses, you know, if you don't keep them up, they kind of, you know, go down. Cars do too. Like in Florida, for instance, it's a lot of salt water. My husband used to drive his truck out on the Snapper Point, which I told you about, and it would be, the water would get all the way up. The water actually got all the way up to the bottom of his floorboard of his car, and it began to eat that salt water begin to eat like a hole in there. So I think he finally got rid of that trouble. But anyway, the thing is, these things will rust. Things will rust. They will deteriorate. We don't need to set our heart on the things, because they will perish. And even people will steal. You know, I had somebody steal from me. And, you know, if my heart was in it, I'd be all upset with them. I probably wouldn't even be able to look at them straight, but not so. We don't want to put our heart in things. I don't want anybody to steal from me. You don't. None of us do. But it happens in life. And we don't want to allow ourselves to be all involved in that. So, when we think about it, how do we know we're putting these things first? We're making priorities. We set priorities. We set what we think is important. And then sometimes we put other things on the back burner. Well, when it comes to God, we want to put Him first and foremost in our life. And we can put some of these other things on the back burner, but we don't want to put God on the back burner. How do we know we're putting God on the back burner? When we are not availing ourselves to do the things of God, we're putting Him on the back burner. And sometimes it's just a simple little thing of going to church, you know. Am I going to choose to go to church, or am I going to do this? Which is more important? So we want to put God first and put the other things on the back burner. Let's go to Luke 12:16-21.
And He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?
21.
Is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is rich, and is not rich toward God?
Okay, what was wrong with him? He had all these fruit, all of this stuff. Things just really worked well with him. What would harm him to build a barn and restore all of his goods in there to make sure he has enough space? I don't believe that the problem with this man is his building the barn. But you know, he had no thought of the Lord. Look what he said. I will say to my soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He didn't put God in there anywhere. God is not in this equation, so to speak. And so Jesus said, thou fool. The Lord said, thou fool. This night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then whose will all these things be? We're going to have to leave these things. We're not going to stay here forever. And so we don't want to spend our time building up our resources. And it's not wrong to build resources. But we cannot leave God out. And that was his mistake. That's what he was considered a fool. And we will be too in the sight of God. If we just plan for life, just have all of these things that we want to do and we're going to do and leave God out. We need to. It says, so is he. Anybody who builds, lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. His treasures meant too much to him. We think about the rich young ruler that came to Jesus. And he asked him, good master, what things must I do? I think that's in Luke 18 and 18. Let's read that.
Luke 18 and 18.
Uh-huh.
A rich young ruler. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. And when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lacketh thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich.
All the way, yeah.
And when Jesus saw that he was sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? But it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they heard it, said, who then can be saved? And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God.
Okay, that's good. Now you see, he was a good man. He had kept all the commandments from his youth. But he lacked one thing, and that was his treasures. He had treasures here. He had great treasure. And he was not willing to get rid of those treasures. And so the Lord saw that, and he told him, one thing you lack, sell all that you have. He didn't even tell him to sell part of them. He said, sell all that. His heart was in those treasures. We can have our heart in stuff. So much so that it stands between us and God. And we don't need to do that. We need to let God be first and most important. So we don't want to be like this. We want to put God first. Now let's go, when we think of how to put God first and what we should do, you know, we should just spend our efforts and our energy on the things of God. Make sure of those things. We can have things in this life, but we have to kind of wear life as a loose garment. And we cannot set our heart on it. Let's go to Proverbs 2:1-5.
My son, if thou wilt deceive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart unto understanding, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God.
See, this is what we need to do. We need to put our heart and our minds in the commandments. Seek the word of God. Find out what he wants us to do. And then, like in the prayer, I think it was, and then do it. It says, so he said, if you will receive my words and hide thy commandments with me, thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. This is what we can do. This is how we lay up treasures in heaven, because we're spending our time and our effort in understanding what God wants us to do from his word. And then when we hear it and when we read it, we're applying it and we're doing it. It's one thing to read God's word, but it's another one to apply it and to do what he says. Now let's go to Colossians 2, 1 to 3.
But I would not ye know what great conflict I have for you. For them at Laodicea, and for many as I have seen my face, as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father and of Christ, in whom all hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit.
Okay, you can stop. What I was trying to get is this right here. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? In God, in Jesus, there are treasures. Those treasures are hid from people that do not accept him. But when we accept him in our heart, we will get treasures that was hidden from us even before we got saved. But when we get saved, we are partaking of the treasures that of wisdom and knowledge that comes from God. We want that. That's the kind of treasures that we should have. We want to get treasures that's going to affect us in eternity. These treasures here, they are only for a season. We're going to leave them. Somebody might take them. They will moss and rust, dust corrupt. But when we build up spiritual treasures from his word, those will be eternal treasures. We want to set our treasures in heaven and not on this earth. Matthew now 13:44-45.
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all he hath and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a
That's it, 44 and 45. So you see, we have great treasures that once we get saved and we feel new in God. We have gotten beautiful treasures now that we are willing to sell all we have. Somebody hand me that songbook. Quick. I was thinking about this song that Brent requested, and as I was singing it and looking at the words, I want us to look at how 245. So when we give our heart to the Lord, we begin to get treasures that are eternal. And we get, these treasures are worth selling all that we have. It said the man sold everything to buy that field because he found this treasure. And so the same thing with us. When we give our, when we find Jesus and we find how real and precious he is to us, we begin to sell out all that we have, the things that we used to value in time past no longer have the same value because we're selling out those things to gain the heavenly prize. It says, since Jesus gave his life to me, should I not give him mine? I am consecrated, Lord, to thee. I shall be wholly thine. That means all. I'm giving it all to you. I cannot where my Lord directs his purpose, I'll fulfill. I know he everyone protects who does his holy will. Though he may call across the sea, with Jesus I will go and tell the loss of love so free to all his power may know. My home and friends are dear to me, yet he is dearer still. Notice this. The treasures of Jesus is more dear than the things that we would ordinarily have.